Hi Cold Case Detectives, we're your hosts, Cassidy Parra.
And I'm Abby McNamara.
Today we'll be talking about the cold case mystery, Mongo Murders.
15 years ago, a husband and wife were victims of a double homicide. This case is still unsolved. Is the justice system in small towns failing?
On October 21st, 2005, the victims were Terry and Darlene Anderson. They both were in their late 50s. They were brutally beaten to death. Terry Anderson was in his pole barn, and Terry Anderson worked at Olspun Tree Service. He was the supervisor, so he told a lot of people what to do.
This could make some people angry at him.
I mean, if I was in this situation, and like if I was a boss, I know I would have a lot of people disliking me, and like if I was a supervisor.
Yeah.
Terry was just an average guy. He was warm, caring, and a hard worker. He loved to fish, hunt, and loved the outdoors. So he was just a typical man in LaGrange County.
Terry was also a Navy veteran.
Back to his job of being a boss and a supervisor, I feel like you would have a lot of people not liking you for like, you're just the person that tells them what to do.
So. And some people don't like being told what they have to do. Darlene Anderson was inside watching TV with a bowl of popcorn on their couch. Darlene was quiet and reserved. She was a very kind and good friend. She enjoyed cooking and garage sailing.
So she seems like a nice person, and like not many people would dislike her.
Who would want to kill somebody that's very nice and quiet and just minds their own business? Terry and Darlene had a family. He had a daughter, Sherry Musklick. She was Darlene's stepdaughter. Amanda Anderson was their daughter together. She was the first to find the bodies because she went there to pick up Terry for work. They still have no answers to what happened to their family.
Was it a robbery or was someone truly out to get them? Because some stuff was taken, Sherry said, their daughter. His .22 rifle that he carried around with all of the time. There were some coins, his crossbow, and a muzzleloader type gun. But she said nothing really had much value.
I think this was an actual homicide because if it was a robbery, they wouldn't have just took things that didn't have much value.
Yeah, that definitely has some great points.
We are going to take a short break.
Blackburn and Green, attorneys for injured people, located on Detroit Street in LaGrange, Indiana.
Once for a car and twice for a motorcycle, that second look can change a person's life for the better.
Contact them at 422-4400 or 855-BY-YOUR-SIDE. Another way to contact is blackburnandgreen.com.
We tried to place an interview with Don Faust. He was a detective on the case at the time, but he never got back to us in time. So we just found a website, abc57.com.
Terry Durbin was a potential suspect in the case. He was a suspect and convicted of murder of another case. Investigators believe that he knows more than what he's telling.
This is a clip I found on YouTube of an interview with Greg Kinner.
Homicide affect society or the justice system?
Homicide can generate a sense of insecurity in society, and when high rates occur in countries with weak, inefficient, and corrupt criminal justice systems, can contribute to undermining social and economic development. Homicide is caused by a mix of factors at the individual, relationship, community, and social levels. I got this information from violenceinfo.com.
Terry Durbin grew marijuana to sell. On October 31st, 2009, Terry shot Patrick Cheadle, who was one of the marijuana buyers. After shooting him, he forced David W. Minzer to help get rid of the body. And if he didn't get rid of the body, he would have shot him.
Cheadle's friends and family called and checked the local jails and hospitals. They drove around discovering Cheadle's green van with his dead body in it on November 3rd, 2009.
The police used Cheadle's phone and the recent calls to Reminder and Cassidy's home. Cassidy is where Durbin was staying. Durbin was in Tennessee at the time when he found out from his brother that the police wanted to speak to him. Durbin returned and turned himself in on November 12th.
The state charged Durbin with count one, murder, a class A felony, count two, felony murder, a class A felony, and count three, robbery, as a class A felony. And the jury was held on October 25th to 29th in 2010.
During the trial, Minzer testified that he had gotten a gun for Durbin prior to the crime, did not know about the plan for the drug deal or robbery, did not know about shooting until after it occurred, helped Durbin move the body and take it to Greenville because he was scared, returned with Durbin to Cassidy's house and took money from Durbin out of fear, did not report the crime to the police, spent some of the money in Chicago to buy drugs and clothes. He had lied to the police during his police interview.
On cross-examination, Durbin's defense counsel thoroughly attempted to impeach Minzer by pointing out inconsistencies between his trial testimony and his deposition testimony, and previous statements to police and other witness testimonies.
This all occurred almost exactly 4 years after Terry and Darlene Anderson's murder. Cassidy, do you think Terry Durbin is the killer?
Do I think Terry Durbin is the killer? In some instances, yes. Just like this one where he killed Patrick Cheadle, which he did kill him and he did get convicted of it. So what's the difference between he killed someone already, which definitely means that he could already have killed someone or could kill someone in the future. So yeah, I think with the relationships between Terry Anderson and Terry Durbin, it's definitely a possibility.
Thank you for listening to Cold Case. We hope you enjoyed this episode.